Todd Furman, world famous Todd Furman from Fox Sports 1, DonBestSports.com, joins us. I did notice this week, Todd, that Kenny White has moved Oregon ahead of Alabama in his power poll.
He has, but at the same time, that's just raw numbers. We actually had a pretty lengthy discussion about what number both of us would use if these two teams were on a collision course, which they appear to be, playing for a national championship. Still believe you'd see Alabama right now open up as a two-point favorite. Public may come in on Oregon, but the biggest mover mark is actually right there in Big 12 country. The Baylor Bears starting to pick up an awful lot of momentum as far as odds makers are concerned.
Now, you texted me earlier in the week that if Baylor and Oregon played, that the total would be 92.
That is
ridiculous.
My number's 93, and Johnny Avello at the Win actually said he'd make the number an even 100. I think that's as much for shock value as anything else. But you look at these two teams, and clearly both are lighting up scoreboards no matter who and where they play. But the schedule's for each about to get a little more difficult. You consider the fact that Oregon hasn't been less than a 26-point favorite in any game so far this year. They'll have their hands full this week in the Pacific Northwest against Washington. And you look at Baylor on the other side, finally going on the road. A huge move, though, against Kansas State. Number opened at 10 offshore, got bet as high as 20 before there was some resistance. I think this Baylor team's for real. I'm just not sure they should be laying 17 on the conference highway.
Yeah, I would take K-State in that game. I mean, K-State's not a very good football team. I mean, they have a hard time on offense. OSU had guys wide open all over the field last week, and it was just difficult to hit them. But, I mean, at what point do you step in front of the train? I mean, yeah, right? I mean, when's it going to – it's going to stop sometime. I mean, I understand that, but
– Well, that's –
I mean, is that one of your
– That's the question, but I think what's getting overlooked right now with Baylor isn't so much that their offensive capabilities, but the defense has been a top 15 defense. Now, it's not against the – murderer's row of competition, but Baylor in years past, even against some of the bottom feeders, gave up yards in chunks. And if you back out the fourth quarter and even the second half of some of these games, they have a top five defense in terms of yards per play allowed, and I'm interested to see how that continues if they're able to keep that up against Kansas State. We know that they're going to have to work quite a bit to get through the Big 12 conference schedule completely unscathed.
All right, let's talk about OU Texas. I'm sorry. I mean, analyzing the Texas football team, I just do not understand how their power rating continues to be in the top 20. They give up almost 250 yards rushing a game. They're not good in special teams. So I think this is one where OU will be fired up. I don't know how OU doesn't win this game more than two touchdowns, Todd.
This number's come down a little bit, too. It opened at 11.5 in some books, immediately got bet up as high as 14. Seeing some 13.5, 14 out there, depending on what shop you're looking to play through. You have to wonder when Texas is going to show up, but much like you, I've had the similar mindset the last few years that Texas is who they are. They're a 7-5 football team, and until they show me that they can play to their potential with all those 4- and 5-star recruits, you can't do much with them. I think you have a lot of bettors out there, though, who believe this is their last stand. Somehow Texas will come up with a Herculean effort and slow Oklahoma down. But the team I saw in Ames against Iowa State didn't really wow me offensively or defensively. Maybe Oklahoma's been figured out a little bit on the offensive side of the ball themselves. But at this point, you see that number at 14, despite it being one of the biggest public plays of the weekend. I think the only way to really look at it is to lay the points with Oklahoma, but not a game that I'd be investing in myself.
No, I agree with that completely. All right, what other games is the line moving on so far this week?
You've had some movement across the board on some of the so-called marquee matchups as well. This Ole Miss number has been fascinating against Texas A&M. Price opened at 5, climbed as high as 7.5, and that's where all the professionals jumped in on Ole Miss, grabbing those points, pushing this number right back down to 5.5. I think the price will come back up as we get closer to kickoff, knowing that it's in a primetime slot, kind of a standalone type game Saturday night on ESPN. But believe that if this game was played 2 weeks ago before Ole Miss had back-to-back losses against Alabama and Auburn, you're talking about this game real close to a pick 'em. I think Ole Miss realizes their season hinges on their effort against Texas A&M, and you're going to get 110% out of Hugh Freeze and company. These two teams played a year ago, and it was decided by a field goal. I think this game comes down to the wire.
That is probably going to be my lock of the week.
Don't tell me that.
Stole my
don't
lock of
don't
the week
tell
last
me that.
Week.
Time for me to go around town to buy off all my action then.
Look, you can't lay more than a touchdown with Texas A&M.
I mean, defensively,
their defense is horrendous.
And that's the thing. They had another injury on the defensive side of the ball. I believe they lost a D end for the season. And the one thing about Ole Miss, the way the team is built, they're not built to handle a power game, but they are to get off the corner and play speed on the edge. And I think this is where Texas A&M will have some problems if they keep Johnny Manziel in the pocket and force him to be one-dimensional. Allow Johnny to win it with his arm. Don't let him beat you with his legs.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I don't think Arkansas is that good a football team, and they covered against A&M, and most people thought, you know, how in the world is that going to happen? So I like that they're playing at home. Any insight on tonight's game? I mean, the Giants, awful. But they have had some success against the Bears in recent years. How do you see this one?
Yeah, the Giants just right now a real tough team to try and figure out. I mean, they're plagued by turnovers on offense. They continue to make costly blunders on the defensive side of the ball. A little bit of a steep number. Giants clearly getting a lot of attention from some of the betting public at this point. You'll see good two-way action here. I just can't back the Giants, given what I've seen of late. You talk about the short week, a non-divisional game. Victor Cruz coming out saying this team is more than capable of winning a handful of games in a row. You know what, Victor? That's great. Go out there and prove it. Until I see something along those lines that makes me believe in the Giants, I won't be backing them with my money, even as a 7-point dog. I do think this total, though, offers a little bit of value. The hard part being it opened at 44. It's now out to 47. I think we're going to see fireworks in Chicago. The Bears will have a lot more success moving the football against the Giants than they had last week against the Saints.
Yeah, the Saints look pretty good. That's a good matchup on Sunday between New England and New Orleans.
Oh, it should be a great game. You look at these two teams, New England coming in off a loss after an offensive effort where they were pretty lethargic in Cincinnati. Part of that attributed to the weather late in the game, stunting Tom Brady's comeback efforts. But you look at New Orleans, 5-0, and pretty much has that NFC South wrapped up as far as I'm concerned, with Atlanta struggles, Tampa in disarray, and the Carolina Panthers, one of the league's bigger disappointments. But this should definitely be a fascinating game to watch. We'll see if New Orleans could put pressure on Tom Brady, do what they can to confuse him. I think this Patriot defense doesn't get enough credit. They're young and improved. I think they'll find enough stops out there in this kind of game with a total of 50.5. I would look under the total as well.
Do you want to jump on the Cardinals bandwagon now that we've just
I do not want to jump. I do not want to jump on the Cardinals bandwagon now. I stand corrected. I did say that they would win game one and then struggle the rest of the series. I know you were probably watching with bated breath last night, but Wainwright went out there, took care of business as you'd expect your ace to do. Very fascinating development, though, to see you guys go with Joe Kelly in game one and Michael Wacha in game two.
Yeah, Greinke? That's what I want.
Greinke only opening up as a -115 favorite. A total of 7, the Dodgers short favorites for the series. I'm interested to see. I think the Dodgers pitching staff sets up really well, but the fact that you get their two aces in your own building, as long as you get a split, I think the Cardinals are in good standing.
Well, and you know, hey, the Cardinals have beaten Kershaw the last three.
No, that's the whole thing. The Cardinals have had his number, especially in games played in Busch Stadium. So when you look at that here, if you can steal game one, I mean, I take the different approach here. I know a lot of times you want to hold serve in your own building, win those home games. I think if the Cardinals can get a split against the Dodgers aces, the series sets up extremely well for them, and the Cardinals will punch their ticket back to the World Series.
Oh, now, so you are jumping on the bandwagon.
I'm not jumping
exactly
on the bandwagon. I said if they split at home, I think
somebody
they can
needs
get
to
through.
Interpret that for me.
There is no bandwagon. There are no sprained ankles for me jumping on or off. The only horse I had in the race was the Tampa Bay Rays at 30-1, and they've exited stage left, so I can approach each game with objectivity and try and make as much money before we put this baseball season to rest in a matter of weeks.
Okay,
don't tell me about this bandwagon.
Today's game.
With today's game, Sonny Gray and Justin Verlander, I appreciate that formal introduction there.
Why are the A's? Why are the A's? I mean, you got to like Verlander in this game against a rookie.
I mean,
same thing with the Cardinals game last night. It's the same situation.
But you can't blame Garrett Cole for the loss last night. I mean, Cole made one mistake and then gets pulled as the Pirates try to get something going. So I won't see the rookie pitcher there. And Cole, I think, handled himself extremely well in hostile territory. But clearly the Oakland A's see something, that they bumped Bartolo Colon out of the starting role for to choose Sonny Gray tonight. He was outstanding. His numbers in Oakland this year are absolutely tremendous. And Justin Verlander, while he's definitely had Oakland's number, I think he's going to have to match him pitch for pitch. It wouldn't shock me if we see a repeat of what we saw in Game 2. Nothing going into the late innings. And if it's a battle of bullpens, I'll take Oakland every day over this Detroit team. But that being said, I'm not running to back Oakland in this particular spot. I wanted a 7. I couldn't get a 7 as far as the total. 6.5 under -20 where the number sits now. I think it's the perfect line and total for this game.
You're not like Al Albuquerque?
No, I do not like Al Albuquerque. I do not like Bruce Rondon. And I don't like anybody else the Tigers can bring out of that bullpen unless his name is Max Scherzer.
All right, so, okay, now, I mean, your Rays ticket is gone.
Yep, it's gone.
Who are you going to play now? I mean, who would you play now of the, I guess you've got five teams left. I mean,
do I lose my Yankee fan card if I pick the Red Sox to win the World Series
right
now?
No.
I think Boston right now is the best team going. And you look at their ability to not only pitch but to score runs in bunches. I think Boston is a team to watch and really believe that if Boston takes on the Dodgers, that's their toughest matchup, whereas Boston-St. Louis I think would probably be a huge matchup as far as ratings and viewership was concerned to see the Cards go up against this Red Sox team.
What's going on in Vegas this weekend?
You know what? Things slowing down a little bit. I mean, quite a bit of fanfare, of course, for UNLV hosting Hawaii. Is there's talk around the town about UNLV maybe getting back to the postseason for the first time in ages, but bigger news sports-wise, college basketball right around the corner. So the buzz starting to grow around the UNLV Running Rebels and the season they can have on the hardwoods.
We will talk to you again next week.
It is always,
I make it through this weekend.
It is always a pleasure, Mark. And now that I'm not rooting against your Cardinals, I'll make sure I'm pulling for you, and I'll send you some encouraging texts if they get to find themselves in a deficit early in game one.
I was excited last night. I was very happy. So
I imagine that's the case.
Save you a spot. Save you a spot in the train.
I appreciate
Todd Furman,
that.
DonBestSports.com's Fox Sports 1, weekly contributor here on WWLS Sports Animal.